Hey, this is Gillian Welch.
And this is Dave Rollins.
And you're listening to Off the Record.
Thank you very much for joining me. This week, I have a rather sad task. I want to pay tribute to John Prine, who left us on Tuesday, April the 7th, at the age of 73, yet another victim of the coronavirus, which is having a devastating effect around the world and also on the entertainment industry. And last week alone, we lost not only John Prine, but Hal Wilner, the incredible producer, who also departed, and I'll play some of his music on next week's show as something of a tribute. But this week, we pay tribute to John Prine. His second Australian tour in just 15 months was scheduled to include an appearance at Blues Fest over the Easter weekend, but he cancelled that earlier in the year due to some health problems, and a few weeks later, he was reported to be in hospital with the virus. Tragically, John Prine was not to make a recovery, making memories of his magnificent shows here last year even more precious. And those shows were the first in Australia for 26 years. I remember seeing him at WOMADelaide in 1993, his first Australian tour. And because his plane was running late, he only got to perform for 35 minutes, but it certainly whetted my appetite. John Prine was not only a songwriter revered by his peers, from Bonnie Raitt to Bob Dylan, but his 2018 album, The Tree of Forgiveness, hopefully not his final recordings, won him a Grammy and was also the most commercially successful of his career. In 2018, he won an Americana honour as Artist of the Year, and in 2019, his album won the Album of the Year. I was lucky enough to interview John Prine towards the end of 2018, not long after I'd seen him give a wonderful show at Nashville's City Winery during the Americana Festival. He was to appear on the cover of the Rhythms magazine January 2019 issue, and I was going to write the story and also feature the interview on radio. And you might have heard me play it for you last year. First, we tried a call while he was on his way to Mexico for a brief holiday, but the reception from his plane on the tarmac at Nashville was not great. So a few days later, after he'd arrived at his holiday destination, and just the day after his birthday, we connected again. Now, the quality of the phone line was not great, but any chance to talk to John Prine counts as a privilege. I hope you enjoy our conversation and the music I've chosen, which includes some of his greatest songs and selections from his latest album. So let's remember John Prine by replaying the interview I did with him just about 15 months ago.
While digesting Reader's Digest in the back of the dirty bookstore, a plastic flag with gum on the back fell out on the floor. Well, I picked it up and I ran outside, slapped it on my window shield. And if I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I went to Christmas Club will give you 10 of them flags for free. Well, I didn't mess around a bit. I took him up on what he said, and I stuck them stickers all over my car and one on the wife's forehead. But your flag gal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag gal won't get you into heaven anymore. Flags I couldn't see, so I ran the car upside a curb, right into a tree. By the time they got a doctor down, I was already dead. And I'll never understand why the man standing in the pearly gates said, but your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. We're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore.
Hello.
Hello, John, how are you?
Good, Blaine, how you doing?
I'm good. Whereabouts are you at the moment?
We're in Mexico.
Are you down there fishing?
No. We just got here last night. We're just having a holiday.
Great. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Hey, a really good one.
Very nice of you to ring me on your birthday. Well, that's a day after your birthday, isn't it? So congratulations.
I'm still celebrating.
Good. And also congratulations on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination.
Well, thank you. I didn't expect that at all, so it was quite a surprise.
And you have some interesting company amongst those nominees, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, Devo and Stevie Nicks.
Def Leppard.
Last time I saw Stevie Nicks, her and Lindsey Buckingham were opening for me.
Well, it's well deserved anyway.
It was before Fleetwood Mac.
We're looking forward to seeing you back in Australia for the first time in more than 25 years.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I was lucky enough to see you at the City Winery during Americana, and I have to say that I enjoyed that City Winery show immensely. In fact, that was the highlight of my Americana festival.
Oh, thanks. I had a good time doing it.
Look, you told some great stories as well during that particular show, and you ran through the latest album in sequence, didn't you, track by track?
We did, yeah.
So it was fantastic to hear it performed. How do you choose what you're going to perform, because you've had such a large body of work over the years?
Well, we do all the songs from the Tree of Forgiveness, and then we do probably 14 or 15 songs from over the years. You know, I just kind of pick and choose night to night. I have to keep a set list for the band, but in those 30 minutes that I do solo, I'm able to pick different songs each night. And we try and cover, you know, quite a bit of territory.
Sam Stone came home to his wife and family after serving in the conflict overseas. And the time that he served had shattered all his nerves and left a little shrapnel in his name. But the morphine eased the pain, and the grass grew around his brain and gave him all the confidence he lacked. With a purple heart and a monkey on his back, there's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios. Sam Stone's Welcome Home didn't last too long. He went to work when he'd spent his last dime. And Sammy took to stealing when he got that empty feeling for $100 habit without overtime. And the gold rolled through his veins like a thousand railroad trains. He eased his mind in the hours that he chose, while the kids ran around wearing other people's clothes. There's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios. Sam Stone was alone when he popped his last balloon, climbing walls while sitting in a chair. Well, he played his last request while the room smelled just like death, with an overdose hovering in the air. But life, it lost its fun, and there was nothing to be done but trade his house that he bought on the G.I. Bill for a flag-draped casket on a local hero's hill. There's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios.
One of the stories you told during the performance, which I guess relates to the song When I Get to Heaven, was about your health and about seeing the doctor and giving up smoking and that. It was, you told some really interesting stories. That was one of the more interesting ones. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I had cancer surgery around 1996, and it was for, the doctor told me not to force surgery. He said that I can't tell you if this is from your cigarette smoking or not, because I smoked for 35 years. And he said, but wouldn't it be a great time to quit? And so I said, yeah, I guess so. So I quit, and but I never quit liking them. I've always thought cigarette smoking would taste good, and it was just a good thing to do. And I figured the only place I could smoke was probably when I get to heaven. Chorus is like a song I sing to myself when the happy hour is coming near. Gonna have a cocktail, vodka, and ginger ale. Gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. And that's how it all came about. Or you see somebody walk outside a restaurant, fire up a smoke. You just want to go over there and get one choke off of it.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka, and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt the world. Cause this old man is going to town. Then as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm going to open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness and forgive everybody ever done me any harm. Why, I might even invite a few choice critics, those syphilitic parasitics. Buy them a pint of Smithix and smother them with my charm. Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. Yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna take that wristwatch off my arm. What are you gonna do with time after you bought the farm? And then I'm gonna go find my mom and dad. And good old brother Doug, well, I bet him and cousin Jackie are still cutting up a rug. I wanna see all my mama's sisters, cause that's where all the love starts. I miss them all like crazy. Bless their little hearts. And I always will remember these words my daddy said. He said, "Buddy, when you're dead, you're a dead peckerhead." I hope to prove him wrong. That is, when I get to heaven. Cause I'm going to have a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette.
I believe that for the latest album, you booked a, well, you were talking about this in that as well, you booked a hotel room and you sort of hid yourself away so you could write the songs for the album in Nashville. Is that right?
Well, actually, it was my wife and our son Jody that booked the hotel. They put me in. They figured I operated better in a hotel than I do at home. So they put me in a hotel with 3 guitars and a ukulele and 10 boxes of unfinished lyrics. And I came out a week later with the songs for the Tree of Forgiveness.
I read a quote where you said you're scared of writing.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know much about myself, but I enjoy writing songs, but I think there's a certain fear there, too. Otherwise, I would do it more often. I do everything. Sometimes I do everything I can to not write. You know, I do every possible thing to stay away from it. So I figured I got to be a certain amount of fear there.
It's obviously came easy to you when you locked yourself away in that hotel room, though, and you were able to do that in a week once you apply it.
Yeah, I know, but as soon as I got it done, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I don't know why. I tell you what, when I was a mailman, songwriting was my hobby. It was my getaway from the world, and now it's my job. So when anything that resembles work, I run the other way, and that might be it, because like I said, back then, there was, I didn't tell anybody I wrote songs. I just did it for my own entertainment, and it became really easy.
Are there any particular writers of prose, for example, novelists or that you enjoy reading that might inspire you, or other writers, or how does that inspiration work for the song?
When I was a teenager, I read a lot of John Steinbeck, so I don't know if that influenced my writing or if it just was entertaining to me. But I really liked his voice. I liked the way the words fell together. A songwriting, I always admired the Hank Williams Sr. and Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash, Chris Christopherson. And we hope that some of the stuff they did, you know, rubbed off on me.
Mm-hmm.
apartment in the city. Me and Loretta like living there. Well, it's been years since the kids had grown a life of their own, left us alone. John and Linda live in Omaha, and Joe is somewhere on the road. We lost Davy in the Korean War, and I still don't know what for. Don't matter anymore. You know grow stronger and old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome waiting for someone to say hello in more. She sits and stares through the back door screen, and all the news just repeats itself like some forgotten dream that we've both seen. Someday I'll go and call up Rudy. Together at the factory. What could I say if he asked what's new? Nothing. What's with you? Nothing much to do. You know that old trees just grow stronger and old rivers grow wilder. Just grow lonesome waiting for someone to say hello in there. So if you're walking down the street sometime, spot some hollow ancient ash, don't just pass them by and stare as if you didn't care. Say hello in there.
Perhaps the best song ever written about old age, Hello in There, from John Prine's debut self-titled album in 1971. And incredible to think that someone who was only in their early 20s at that stage could write a song that was so perceptive about old age. And we're talking to John Prine, replaying an interview that I did with him. As a tribute to him, he passed away on April the 7th. The other tracks we heard during that segment of the interview, When I Get to Heaven from the Tree of Forgiveness, and a couple of tracks also from his debut, Sam Stone, the classic song, and Your Flag Decal Won't Get You Into Heaven Anymore, a song that is as relevant now in America as when it was first written. Let's return to our interview with John Prine and hear a little bit of Crazy Bone before we continue our conversation.
If you like your apple sweet and your streets are not concrete, you'll be in your bed by nine every night. Take your hand spanked corn fed gal and your best friend's four eyed pal to a treat right down the street that's dynamite. Now let your conscience be your guide. If you put your foot inside, you wish you left your well enough alone. When you got hell to pay, put the truth on layaway and blame it on that old crazy bone. Crazy bone.
Crazy bone.
Crazy bone.
Crazy bone.
Where you wish you left your well enough alone. Or when you got hell to pay, put the truth on layaway and blame it on that old crazy bone. Don't be stuck up in Alaska.
So you tend to write, from my observation, you tend to write about things that happen around you. You've got a, you know, a people or incidents. For example, Crazy Bone's a great song. Then you told the story about how you went fishing and you were talking about the song with your friend. And you tend to, is it just incidents in your life that inspire these songs?
Yeah, I know. I mean, sometimes when I'm not looking for it, the songs just pop up all around me. That, you know, I seem like I'm a magnet for them. I don't know what it is.
You also have a really humorous way of looking at the world. And I have to say, I know my favourites of yours should be some of your serious songs like Sam Stone and songs like that. But you know what my favourite song is? I hope you don't mind me. My favourite song is...
In Spite of Ourselves.
No, it's Let's Talk Dirty in Hawaiian.
Oh, yeah. They love that one in Hawaii, I tell you.
for some reason, every time I hear that song, I just cannot help laughing.
we made up. I wrote that with a friend of mine named Fred Kohler.
Yeah.
And Fred and I just, we just made up all the Hawaiian words we could, you know, and in a suggestive way.
And, it always tickles my funny bone, and it kind of exemplifies the way you look at the world. And I think maybe the way you look at the world is why you've stayed in music for so long. Is that right? You kind of, I don't know, I won't say that you don't treat it seriously, but you have a particular humorous view of it.
Yeah, I do. In general, I tend to see humor in some things that other people don't. You know, the human condition to me is usually humorous. You know, if you see a guy with a fender on his car, like where he had an accident, they usually park with that part of the car sticking out for people to hit it. And that seems funny to me.
And bought myself a ticket for the land of the tall palm tree. Aloha, old Milwaukee, hello, Waikiki. I just stepped down from the airplane when I heard her say, wacka wacka nuka licka, wacka wacka nuka licka, would you like a lay? Hey, let's talk dirty in Hawaii, whisper in my ear. Yikapuka, maka, wawahini are the words I long to hear. Lay your coconut on my tiki. What the heck, a mooka mooka dear. Let's talk dirty in Hawaiian. Say the words I long to hear. It's a ukulele Honolulu sunset. Listen to the grass skirts sway. Drinking rum from the pineapple out on Honolulu Bay. The steel guitars are playing while she's talking with her hands. Gimme, gimme, okey doke, make a wish you wanna poke her. Words I understand. Hey, let's talk dirty in Hawaii, whisper in my ear. Yikapuka, maka, wawahini are the words I long to hear. They
coconut on my ticket. What the heck a mooka mooka dear? Let's talk dirty in Hawaiian. Say the words I long to hear. Well, I bought a lot of junk with my moolah, and I sent it to the folks back home. I never had a chance to dance a hula. Well, I guess I should have known. When you start talking to the sweet wahine, walking in the pale moonlight, open over what I said, a knock a rock a sister bikers, hope I said it right.
Oh,
let's talk dirty in Hawaiian, a whisper in my ear. Kick a poop and mock a wahine, are the words I long to hear. Lay your coconut on my tiki, what the heck a mooka mooka dear. Let's talk dirty in Hawaiian, say the words I long to hear. Let's talk dirty in Hawaiian, say the words I long to hear.
Aloha.
Can I ask you about a couple of the songs on the latest album? There's a beautiful song, Summer's End, which is just a beautiful ballad. Can you tell us what inspired that? Because there are a couple of songs that are along a similar theme, really, and that's one of them, I think.
Well, I wrote that song with Pat McGoffin, same fellow I wrote Crazy Bone with. And me and Pat have written quite a few songs together, and sometimes we're able to finish each other's thoughts or sentences. So I'll just write an image and Pat will come back to me with one. We don't really discuss the subject we're writing about. It just kind of goes back and forth like a tennis match. And I don't know, it just works out really well when, you know, we both of us write kind of what the meaning of the words are, but also in a melodic way. And at the end of the song, it all comes out really nice and you know, without like, we weren't pursuing a particular subject, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, some people might think that's a melancholy song in a way.
Well, it is very, yeah. Very yeah. Much so, yeah. I didn't write the chorus until about a month after we wrote the song, the Come On Home, You Don't Have to Be Alone part. I didn't write that until a month after we wrote all the verses. And that's what the song seemed to be saying to me was, it is melancholy. So come on home.
Summer's ends around the bend, just flying. The swimming suits are on the line, just drying. I'll meet you there for our conversation. I hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation. Well, you never know how far from home you're feeling until you've watched the shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing in your car. The windows are wide open. Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home.
The other song I wanted to ask you about was, it's a really, the more I read the lyrics, the more I get out of it, The Lonesome Friends of Science, which has got a fascinating story to it.
Yeah. I had a good one with that one. It was basically, I didn't like the fact that a room full of scientists decided that Pluto was no longer a planet. I mean, I don't know where they get off. Maybe they could just wake up one morning and, you know, demote a planet from the entire solar system.
And that inspired the song.
Yeah, that was definitely, it's something I've been thinking about for quite a while. That and the second verse is about a statue in Birmingham, Alabama,
yeah.
The Vulcan. And I read up on that. I read a pamphlet on the Vulcan over the years, they had let the thing really go to, like, to, it was distressed. They didn't have the money to tear it down, so they used it for various things. It's a huge statue looking over the city of Birmingham, Alabama. And at one point, they took the sword out of his hand and replaced it with a giant pickle. And they had an advertising pickles. And another time, they had bib overalls on that with checkers on, and he was selling dog food. And this is a mighty statue that was built to, I believe, there's a lot of iron foundries around Birmingham, Alabama. It was supposed to have celebrated this iron city. So I wanted to write about the humiliation the statue suffered over the years and the humiliation that Pluto suffered when told it was no longer a planet.
Well, you know, John, some people might say that this is a very timely song, given that science is under attack in certain places around the world. Do you know what I mean? From governments.
Yeah, I do know. Some people mentioned that maybe I was talking about climate change, but I'm not at all. That is something that's real.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, they need to do better things to demote planets from the solar system. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure about there, but when I was in school, it took me a long time to memorize these planets. And then four guys in a room all of a sudden tell me that Worm's not a planet. It's a star. I don't want to believe that.
Well, yeah. Well, I was particularly disappointed because I went to the observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, which discovered Pluto. So I was devastated when I found
really?
It. Yeah. Yes.
So it was a wasted trip.
It was completely wasted trip. Thank you very much for that.
You like that? You should get your money back.
Yeah.
The lonesome friends of science say the world will end most any day. Well, if it does, then that's okay, 'cause I don't live here anyway. I live down deep inside my head, where long ago I made my bed. I get my mail in Tennessee, my wife, my dog, and my family. Now, poor old planet Pluto now, he never stood a chance, no how. When he got uninvited to the interplanetary dance, once a mighty planet there, now just an ordinary star, hanging out in Hollywood in some old funky sushi bar. The lonesome friends of science say the world will end most any day. Well, if it does, then that's okay, 'cause I don't live here anyway. I live down deep inside my head, where long ago I made my bed. I get my mail in Tennessee, my wife, my dog, and my kids.
Can I ask you about your relationship with your songs that have been covered over the years, become classic songs? You know, Sam Stone, Angel from Montgomery, Paradise have been covered a lot by other people. What? How do you feel about those songs now? Like, I mean, I know you still perform some of them, but what's your feeling towards them? Because they've been pretty good to you, haven't they?
They've been very good to me. And I enjoy hearing other people do my songs. Sometimes it reads something else into the song and that I didn't previously think of. And I enjoy it. I got my favorites. You know, I love Bonnie Raitt doing Angel from Montgomery and Bette Midler doing Hello and That. There's a lot of bluegrass groups that do the song Paradise. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a fellow named Jerry Williams Jr.
Yeah.
His nickname is Swamp Dog. He does Sam Stone. He just kills it. I mean, he is so good when he does it. He goes into a preacher thing at the end. He does about 10 minutes on homeless Vietnam veterans. And it's just really good stuff.
Do you know there's an Australian version of The Speed of the Sound of Loneliness? I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's a beautiful song.
No, I've heard, I tell you who I've heard do a couple of my songs and do really well is Casey Chambers. I don't know her, but I'm hoping to meet her. I'm hoping she's in the country going to get over there next year.
Child has grown old. If dreams were lightning, thunder were desire, this old house would have burnt down a long time ago. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, well, I had me a cowboy. He weren't much to look at, just a free rambling man. But that was a long time, and no matter how I try, the years just flow by like a broken down dam. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. There's flies in the kitchen, I can hear them there buzzing, and I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning and come home in the evening and have nothing to say? Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
One of John Prine's greatest songs, Angel from Montgomery. They're performed by him on his debut album from 1971. Of course, there have been many classic versions of that song, not the least of which was Bonnie Raitt's version on her Streetlights album of the early 70s, a beautiful rendition of a magnificent song. Prior to that, we were talking to John Prine, replaying the interview, paying tribute to him. He will be sorely missed. The other songs we heard from the latest album, The Tree of Forgiveness, The Lonesome Friends of Science, Summer's End, and also Crazy Bone at the start of the interview segment. And Let's Talk Dirty in Hawaiian, a funny song from German Afternoons, released back in 1986. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with John Prine. I'll remember him fondly and remember some of his performances as the best that I've ever seen. Well, let's continue with another music legend, Mavis Staples. She's got a brand new single out, produced by Jeff Tweedy. He also does backing vocals on the song. It's called All In It Together.
We're all in it together. every boy and every girl. We've all got to get it together. Everybody in the world. I gave up on hating you just for hating me. I gave up on hating you a long time ago. I need you. You need me. And we're all in it together. We got to get it right. We've all got to get it together. Everybody's on the same side. I gave up on hurting you, 'cause it was hurting me. I surrendered it to my heart a long time ago.
TV screen, bad news on the magazines, bad news on the newspaper, bad news on the elevator, bad news on the street, bad news on my car, bad news under my feet, bad news at the bar, all over my clothes, under my hat, on the radio, in the laundromat, hanging in the air, laying on the ground. Walking up the stairs, bad news all around. No matter where I go, I can't get away from it. Don't you know I'm knee-deep in it? Who's gonna believe liars and lunatics? on my left, bad news on my right, bad news in the morning, bad news at night. In my refrigerator, bad news on my sink, on my typewriter, bad news in my drink, bad news in the walls, all over the floor, down the hall, knocking at the door. Bad news in the mail, follow me home. Bad news on my trail, bad news on my phone. No matter where I go, I can't seem to get away from it. Don't you know, I'm knee deep in it. Who's gonna believe liars and lunatics? Gluttony and greed, and that ain't the worst of it. All the news you can read, all the news is fit to print.
Thank you.
Victorian singer Claire Birchall, a new release from her, a new single. It's called Running in Slow Motion, preceding a brand new album. Before that, Lucinda Williams from her forthcoming album, Good Souls, Better Angels, and the song Bad News Blues. And I'll be talking to Lucinda Williams on next week's program about the album. And we started off that bracket with a very timely song. As if Lucinda Williams' song wasn't timely enough, Mavis Staples, a brand new single from Mavis, All In It Together, which certainly describes the situation at the moment, produced by Jeff Tweedy, and Jeff is on backing vocals there as well. I hope you've enjoyed Off the Record this week. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with John Prine, paying tribute to a magnificent songwriter. Please join me again next week on Off the Record, brought to you on the satellite network of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Hi, this is Sean Colvin, and you've been listening to Off.